Hi, God bless you. So we're going to go ahead and start with the class. And one of the first things that we spoke about prior was the gifts of the Spirit. We had spoken about the root of the word. We spoke how the gifts of the Spirit are a gift. We also spoke about the difference of each gift that they give and the difference between the gifts of the Spirit and your talents. So there is a difference between both. So there is a form that goes along with this study. It's a guide sheet. So I will be going over that guide sheet during this class. So if you would like to request a guide sheet for this class, go ahead and see Sister Jeanette or myself, and we can go ahead and provide you with a copy of this guide for an offering of a dollar or more. So on the guide sheet, you will see some blank areas and with point number C or point C. So on there, you will see on point C, and it says that the gifts are given by, and who is it given by? And the gifts of the Spirit are given by who? God. It doesn't matter, you know, who your parents are. That has nothing to do with the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts are not something that you inherit. It's not a gift from elsewhere. It is given to you by grace. It's not something that you can go out there and buy. It's not even something that we deserve. It is a gift given from God, even though we don't deserve those gifts. It's a gift of grace. It's like salvation. I didn't deserve salvation. You didn't deserve salvation. However, by God's grace, He gave us salvation. And it's amazing how Naomi, during worship, when she read that verse, as she hit it on target, at the end of the day, it's like she read, it is by grace. It is not because I'm a good person or because I have all these abilities or because I'm doing something good. It is because God, it was in God's plan to give it to us, not because you deserve it, not because you earned it. And now with the talents, like we read in the book of Matthew, as we read, there was like 20 some talents that are provided. So what's the difference between talents and gift? Now talents, yes, that can be something that you obtain, from generation to generation or from your parents. For example, you know, being a musician. If your grandparents or your great-grandparents were musicians, there is a possibility that your children will have the capacity to also have that talent to be a musician as well. And in some talents, you have to discover that you have that talent. Maybe there's something that interests you, and then you work at it, and then you realize that you have the talent for something that you're interested in. So another thing too about the talents, what did we learn about the talents? What happens if you don't utilize, you don't use the talents that were given to you? What happened with that stubborn, wrong servant? What did he do? Like what that servant did. What happens if you reject it? If you refuse to use it and you just bury it away? What happens to those talents? What does the Bible say on Matthew chapter 25? What does the Bible say with that servant that, you know, he buried his talent and he didn't use it? He didn't utilize it. What happened? It was taken away. It wasn't just taken away. It was given to the one that had more talents that he was actually using. He was added more talents. That's why I say, Lord, no, if you want to give it to me, no, there's nobody. Okay, Lord, I'll do it. Lord, I'll do that. I'll do the job, Lord. I'll do it. Because at the end of the day, I don't want the Lord to take away the little bit that he gave me. I want him to multiply those gifts, those talents. I was speaking with a sister, and she said something that really stuck with me, and I meditated on it. And it was something so simple, but the Lord really ministered my heart in this. And she said, Pastora, this is why you are blessed. Because you do whatever is placed in front of you. That you wear different hats. So listen to this. I'm going to give you a little secret. If you want to be blessed, Don't say no to working for the Lord. Go ahead and roll up your sleeve and just be ready, be prepared. But just remember, God's not going to place you in something or somewhere that you won't be able to work. God's going to place you somewhere where you can flourish. And just say, Lord, and what you need me in, I'm there. Lord, and what you can use me in, I'm there. Just say, Lord, I'm there. Be available, but never with a forced heart. Diversity, that would be number two. The difference between, it doesn't mean that better than another person. What I want to make an emphasis on, and with the ministries of the church, I want to go in a little bit later, more in depth later with that. So if you want to leave that in blank for the ministries of the church, there's five ministries in the church. You know, there's, we're going to go over a little bit more detail later on. If you want to go ahead and write that later, there's pastors, prophets, teachers. So then we continue. And the fruits of the Spirit are how many? Nine. Check. Okay. If you don't know how many, maybe we're missing some and we're missing a few. Okay, Lord, do I have them all? Okay, do I have all nine? Okay, next. Continue. Let's continue here. And the diversity, we touched on different areas. Let's go ahead and continue. That there's not one. That there's not one that's better than the other. So, for example, in the area that was left blank for having those tools, that's on a personal level. What tools do you have to accomplish what the Lord has given you? Go ahead and fill in that blank if you have the forms. If not, you can write it on a piece of paper and just write down those tools that you have. And like a carpenter, you know, they use, well, some people call it so-so, but it's soul. And, you know, and I've learned this because I investigate it. And then I look and I'm like, oh, okay, I see what tool it is. So that's key right there. That, see, the Lord tells us that we also have to study it. You know, don't just depend on what other people tell you. You got to search for it yourself as well. Okay, so anyways, the gifts come to be the tools and it comes to be the what you need to do the things of the Lord. So this is a very strong word, and it's okodemeo. And that word stuck to me because it's showing on there that the gifts, I'm not going to use them for like my benefit. Because unfortunately, there's some people that use it very lucrative. Like, oh, here comes the prophet, you know, go see this major prophet, you know, and people go and they pay money to see this prophet. But that's really a personal gain. I mean, they're getting paid. And they're using it in a way that it's not correct. So the gift that the Lord has given me, I'm going to use it for the benefit of the church, for the body of Christ. So okodomeo means that I'm going to use it to stimulate the growth of others, to show you, to help you grow. That's the that might be the gift of service, to be like, what can I help you with? How can I help you today? You know, and then that can also minister somebody's life that way. So what I have in the part of the Lord is to be used for God's people. And we need to hold on to that. Well, you know what? It doesn't even matter if you're like, well, nobody appreciates me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because this is for the body of Christ. Because it's for the people of Christ. It's for God's people. It's for God's family. All right, let's keep going. Second page is the purpose, where it says, let's see what we can put for purpose, ministries, activities. So we continue to talk about the first principle, that we are designed with a purpose, right? Each one of us has the design with a purpose. You need to ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, how do you want to use me? If you still don't know, ask him. Ask the Holy Spirit, how do you want to use me? How can I serve? How can I help? Look, it's so nice when somebody comes and they tell you, where can I help? And sometimes we see the necessity and we act like, okay, well, there could be somebody else that can do it. I'm going to give you an example. When the sister came, you know, her month has passed when, you know, she had started with us. And she says, "Sister, how can I help the church?" Because it's somebody that already knows the word of God and that she didn't want to just be sitting down. How can I be help? How can I be an assistant? How can I help the church? Well, there's ushers. When you know your identity in Christ, when I see that, there's a lot of people as ushers. But if you want to put me as an usher, but the necessity that I see is the care for the little ones. I see that you need a teachers for the little ones, little huellitas. But you know what? It's your decision. You know, and I'm actually prepared and equipped to teach the little kids class. Because not many of us know how to teach the little ones. Maybe sometimes we don't have the time or we don't make the time to ask the Lord, how can I be used at church? How can I be utilized? How can I help the church? So in the end, we are here to complement each other in the body of Christ. So if I didn't have this finger right here, like which is like my thumb. So this thumb comes to complement a function to hold like my microphone. That's how we are as the body of Christ. We complement each other. My gifts have a complement towards other people at church to grow. So, and it's like, if I look at you and I say, how can I compliment you? How can I complete us as the body of Christ? So let's continue. Not because you're going to classify yourself. Okay, so you're going to see different kinds of ministries here. You know, prophets, teachers, pastors, you know, apostles. Doesn't mean that one is bigger than the other. No, we all serve. We all contribute to the body of Christ. So the same categories are showing us this. How it produces character in each one of us. It produces a character of Christ, of love. Number six, positions. Let's keep going. In positions. In how each of us in the church, how we come together. This is the most critical part, the most important thing, that we become administrators of the kingdom of Christ here on earth. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We represent somebody here on earth that is somebody that's on earth, on heaven. We represent the living God. How are we representing him? How's your testimony? How are we representing him at home first? Because at home, because you're presented with your kids, your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, your husband, your wife. That is where you represent Jesus. You can't mistreat your kids and your husband and your wives and then fight all the time and have a broken relationship and then there's screaming, hitting, and who knows what else. And then representing Christ that way. No. How do we represent him at home first? So we are ambassadors and we are positioned. We have been called here on earth to govern, but through the heavens, not the way the earth does it, but the way the Lord does it in heaven and earth as it is in heaven. Well, because you know what? You did that to me. Okay, fine. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to bless you. If you've never done that before, this is a big point right here to pray for somebody that's hurt you, that has intentionally damaged you. It's not easy. But it brings a liberation and empowerment in your life when you can do that. Oh, it's so powerful. And it's something that you need to exercise. It's not something that you'll do it like the first time. Like, okay, I'm just going to pray for you. No, the first time you're like praying and you're like, Lord, help me. And I forgive you and I release it because of what you did to me. And I release it to the hands of God. And that God may have mercy on them. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord multiply in your life. Because the Bible says that we need to bless our enemies. Because at the end, not because they're our friend, but because because there's something right there, that something that needs to work in that person. But I have to let God liberate me from that. So number eight, operating the gifts. We learn different categories, because if not, we're not going to go too forward. Although they gave me a good time right now to start. So perfect. We're doing perfect timing. Okay, so we continue. Okay, so we talked about operating. Okay, we talked about the power, the economy, the wisdom, how God made us administrators. Now, operating the gift. Now, as sons and daughters and as ambassadors, let's continue with number eight. Okay, that's almost the last one. Okay. So you can even listen to this class all over again to add your own notes that you want to take. So I urge you, by the mercy. And then that's when the Lord is urging us to present our body in sacrifice, live sacrifice. Wow, when you read that as a true and living sacrifice, our bodies, ourselves, even though, like, you know, I am dragging my feet, but the Lord, you're going to help me, that you're going to help me do what you call me to do many times, not just once. In the most recent ones, when it was one of those days that I have lived in such a dark day where you can't even see the light, where you can't even see how many fingers you're having in front of you. It was one of the darkest days of my life. Only my family knows. It was on Primicias Day. And I said, Lord, only you will give me the strength to be able to minister and to do the work that you've called me to do. And like that many times in health, but it's a soldier that the soldier in the maturity that they've grown, not because the attack is there. No, it's because the attack may be there, but that's when you got to rise up even stronger to rise up. And hallelujah, when I'm exercising this gift, the Lord blesses, the heavens open. So you worship at the house. So you keep raising your hands. You keep seeking the Lord. Keep seeking the Lord in the midst of your trials and tribulations. Oh, but you know what? I can't even pray. No. Lord, you know it, Lord. But I'm going to raise up my worship to you. I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to be able to do it by my own strength, but by your strength that you've given me, Lord. When that scripture says that we present ourselves like a living sacrifice, but in reality, we can say there are very few actual living sacrifices, and even more in this country, and especially in this country, and everything makes it more difficult for people to sacrifice stuff, even to pay. Even then, that's like, oh my gosh, you know, in other countries, they take a taxi and they all go in together to get to church on time. But here in this country, it's truly, truly hard to give a true sacrifice that the Lord has requested from us during worship. Why? Because we're comfortable, because we have a house, because we have a shelter. We're so blessed that it is truly hard to sacrifice. That's how blessed we are, because we're comfortable. It's not easy. Not everybody wants to do it. And some people are like, you know, they haven't experienced what it is, a true living sacrifice. Holy and presentable, because we need to bring service. But you know what? The Lord doesn't want a half sacrifice. He wants a full sacrifice, right? You know, I'm here early. Oh, I'm always here. Oh, I'm here all the time. But the heart, there's no forgiveness. Gossiper critiques everything, complains about everything. You always have something to say. Is that a true living sacrifice? And holy and true. And that is a half sacrifice. That is awful sacrifice. That's not even a true sacrifice. So how? So if you're worshiping the Lord and you remember, make sure you're clear accounts with people that you have wronged.
Yes, I'm here early. You know, I don't know how that one can be there, but you know what? Oh, but there is a parable on the Pharisees, that one Pharisee that, you know, tells everybody like, oh, this is what I give. This is what I do. And then this one right here that's crying and saying like, you know what, Lord, for I need you, Lord, and being humble and saying, Lord, if you can just heal me. But the Lord does not receive the offering of the one that says, oh, I never failed you. The one that the ego is all big. No, the Lord is looking for somebody humble that can say, Lord, I have failed you. That even though it's hard for them, they're there. That's the one that I admire. That's why the Bible says, I urge you. That's one of the things that we're going to be advancing in towards the class. But the one of the things you'll see in your notes, that everything has a motor. But everything has a motor. It comes with what we're talking about right now. That every gift has a motor. And then we spoke about the motor in one of the classes. What is a motor? It's something that makes you move, right? That allows you to do it. What is a motor? Does somebody remember what the motor is? From memory, the motor that has to motivate us to do is love. Not by anything else. No, it's not for our own glory, but for love. Not necessarily just to the Lord, but at the Lord, the love to each other. Not because, you know what, I love to teach, but because I have to. I have to help my brother and my sister in Christ to teach him. Like, for example, Pastor. He prepares for the classes. He prepares for the preaching, you know, to be here like 3 times a week and so forth. He does it for love. He does it for those that want to show up and want to receive and want to be changed. That's why he's up at 5 a.m. in the morning preparing these classes, these sermons. Do you think that he does it, you know, to receive praise from everybody saying, thank you, Pastor. Wow, what a powerful word. No, he does it for love. So that you and I can grow in the Word of God. Okay, so perfect, perfect. Okay, so we're going to continue with the gifts of the Spirit. And like I have said before, going into depth into this study, I mean, I don't know if it can take months, years to complete because there's so much information. Because it's really important to grow in these classes. And these classes and learning will help us get to where we need to get to, where God wants us to be. Because how can I ask you to prophesy or for you to prophesy, but yet your heart is still immature? Because the Lord's probably saying they're not ready yet. I want to work in some areas in their lives for them to truly understand the true sacrifice, to really, truly love for everybody that's here, not to the one that just gives me something. Oh, but you know what? No, sometimes people love because they give you something, but no, to truly love people just simply because they are people. Look, it's something that even in the midst of us being pastors, you know, we have prayer for prayers, you know, but we also have private prayers. And I always tell you guys that I always say that in my private prayer, I always say, Lord, give me your eyes that when something comes up, you know, I can say, you know, Lord, the Lord would be like, it's okay. Like, you know, like, it's like, wow, you know, maybe the Lord wants me to motivate you in a different part of your life. But the Lord's like, wait, not yet. Why? Because it means that I'm doing things in God's timing. So I say, Lord, give me your eyes. For me to go, stay, stop. Are we understanding? Because we're not moved by our emotions. That's what God wants to take us in this hour. We already saw the gifts of the Son. It is for the growth of the church, of the body of Christ. And we saw it being exercised in the ministry of Jesus, the Son, Jesus. you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, right? Three in one. When I say the Son, he came to exercise the five ministries. He was apostle. I think we saw that in last class. I don't know if I have it there. The one that you have in the notes, number 10. Okay, I don't think I put it on there, but I'm going to go ahead and give it to you here. He was apostle, Hebrews 3. I'm not going to go ahead and read the verses because it's going to take more time. So you just write it down. He was prophet, John 4:19. He was also an evangelist, Matthew 13:53. He was a pastor. You'll find that on John 10:11. He was a teacher, John 13:13. He exercised all five ministries. And you know, when I was studying, when I was going over this, one of the questions, when we study this, I didn't do it. It didn't come to me at that moment, but the Lord didn't place it the first time. But you know what? So I was analyzing this time around when going over this, that as parents, head of households in our homes, we exercise these five ministries. As parents, you know, when the Lord gives us a word, a prophetic word for our family, sometimes we have to, you know, warn our kids about family, about something, our kids, about maybe like a habit, a friend's. You know, maybe God's showing us that it's something not right for the kids, that it's going to bring a consequence to the kids' lives. I mean, the Lord talks to our heart. I mean, we're acting as that prophet to our family, that we come to tell our kids that. Or as teachers, you know, how we act, how we teach with our actions. You know, our kids are learning that way as teachers towards our kids. Now, what else? And how powerful is this? Because different people came to my mind as teachers, as this. So if you see, as that comes from, let's say a kid comes from a family that their parents are servants, that they're teachers. We can say, you know, pastors as well. There comes that line that the kids follow. But if they come from a line that, you know, they're drug addicts or, you know, stubborn, you know, things like that, that same line follows your kids. They're going to be the same. They're going to be stubborn. They're going to be battling. We can say maybe like vicious, like old habits, bad habits that comes from their parents. It's that heritage that we leave for our kids. So, yeah, so we are teachers. So as parents, we are teachers. You know, my kids are a testification of that, is that, you know, we were one time in prison for their birthdays. Not that I'm saying that we were actually in prison, but we were ministering in the prisons. So, you know, I was talking to my son, Abraham. You know, his birthday's coming up. It is for, you know, the 18th. And we're talking about like where he would like to go eat. And he said, like, you know, between these two places. And then, you know, I hadn't looked at the calendar, and then I looked and I was like, oh, May 18th lands on a Wednesday, you know, which is, you know, church day. And then look at this, and it impacted my life, because he says, oh, it's okay, we can go on a different day because we have church that day. And see, and it comes to the point where they learn, and it's amazing, because it doesn't matter what holiday or what event or what it is or what demon comes in front of you. You know, day of the Lord is a day of the Lord to come to church. You know, there's a service is to come to church. So now we're going to start the class for today, and that is the activator, the importance of that we sometimes we feel like we don't grow, that we get stuck, that sometimes we struggle, because in reality, we haven't understood the importance of who the Holy Spirit is in our life, that we have not opened the door for the Holy Spirit, that this Holy Spirit may work in areas that He needs to work in our lives. So first, the Holy Spirit, He's not a spirit. He's not just a fragrance, religious fragrance, or an atmosphere. It is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He is one of the people of the Trinity. So that is the one that the Lord left. Jesus says, you're not going to be left as orphans. I'm going to send the counselor, the comforter. I will send you that help. And many times we struggle because we don't understand that He is our help. Number one, He is. So we're going to do here, a parenthesis here. We're going to start the activator of the gifts. But before that class, we're going to start what other functions the Holy Spirit has. That's what the Lord took me to teach you. Sometimes we can understand, oh, the activator, yeah. But if we don't know Him, truly understand Him in all areas, we're going to battle through this to truly live a life in Christ in victory. Really? Okay? Not in defeat. I mean, we can have trials and tribulations, but we can still have victory in that. We can continue to flow. We can continue to exercise through that. But if the Holy Spirit is not part of our walking, and then it is going to become difficult to keep walking, to keep advancing for what God has called us to do. Number one, He is our help, then teaches, and that reminds us. John 14:16, the Holy Spirit that the Father sent in His name shall teach you everything. That what would He teach? Everything, literally everything. The pastor? No, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would teach you everything, and He will remind you that everything that I have said. Everything that I have said. That right there in that moment, He was speaking to the prophets, that the Holy Spirit was going to remind them. So in that moment, so listen to this. When you're in your house and you read the word, and then later comes a trial, tribulation, attack, or something comes to your life, the Holy Spirit will remind you of what God spoke to you in your life. He will remind you where the victory comes. He reminds you that the weapons that you have to use to reach your victory. Who? The Holy Spirit. That is why many years ago, I think I was 14 years old when that book came out. Maybe some of you have heard of this if you've been, you know, in the Lord for a while now. That was called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. I see that some remember that. Yeah, Good Morning, Holy Spirit. That book, you know, that book was a long time ago. But in that book, that impacted me, that the function, the function that He is in our lives. He is the one that walks with me. In the morning, I always say in the morning, Holy Spirit, prepare me for work. Prepare me for what I'm going to go through today. Prepare me for any attacks that I got, any physical, emotionally, or financially. Holy Spirit, prepare me to discern the attack that is coming my way. Do you understand what I'm saying this evening? That's why sometimes we're like, we don't even know what's going on. It's like, oh no, you know, the enemy already beat me. Why? Because we don't ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit in the morning. Look, you know what? I applaud for you if you pray at night. But in the morning, you know, wow. No, I encourage you, do it in the morning. Because by nighttime, you know, all day, you know, you've been attacked. And it's like, you know, but the word of God says that new mercies are drawn every morning. That means every morning I have to fill me. And you have to ask the Lord in the morning, Lord, prepare me for this day. Do your devotional in the morning. You know, Lord, prepare me. Where is it that you want me to go ahead and teach or talk to somebody, whether it's in the market or at the bank or wherever I go. And also prepare me, you know, where is the enemy gonna try to throw his dart at me today? You know, prepare me for what is to come. It's literally preparing on a daily basis. I mean, are we understanding this in the morning? So I tell you this, I encourage you, don't do it at nighttime. Yeah, I mean, do it, you know, pray at night. And also the importance of, yes, praying at nighttime. Why? Because let's say you were at the grocery store and this person cut in front of you and, you know, you got upset or whatever. And now you have something, you know, bad in your heart and you don't repent at nighttime. You're left, Sister Monica. You're left behind. And that's why the word of God says about the couples, do not go to bed, what? Upset. Yes. Looks like, you know, that's good that everybody understands that. It doesn't matter if your husband is stubborn with a big old head. You make things right before going to bed. That's why you have to let go of that. Because then if you don't let go and forgive, you know, that gets in you. And what? You're left behind. I mean, hey, you know what? Maybe you don't want to come to the classes for the couples. But hey, you know, I'm going to tell you here in this class right now. You know, this wasn't part of my notes. But hey, you know what? If this has to be spoken about, you know, you need to let go. You need to forgive. You need to make things right. And this is very important, even in the things that you maybe think like, oh, I didn't do anything bad today, or did I? No, say, Lord, even in the things I did not realize that I did wrong, forgive me. The things that you saw that I did that went against you, Lord, forgive me. Please. Because I don't want... Look, all this work that I've been doing, you know, from 8-year-old to up to 46 years old, and then I'm left behind? No, I don't think so. No. This has been hard for me. This has been a lot of work for me. It has not been easy. Because many times we've been wanting to throw in the towel. Because many times the enemy came in my youth to try to take our lives, to try to steal the most precious thing that we have, to say that you're worth nothing. It's cost me. It's been hard sometimes to forgive that hurt me. It's been hard. It's been hard to forgive. You know, it's easy to forgive those that... It's easy to forgive those that have talked about me behind my back, but it was so hard to forgive what happened to me in my youth. The one that came and violated me and abused me from 3 to 4 years of my innocence, of my childhood, and then later on to take care of him and talk and to say... And to say, you know, instead of saying, no, you should be in the prison. And God says the justice that comes from above. No, it's not hard to forgive the bad faces. Yeah, it hurts. I mean, I cry. But to forgive, no, it's easy. It's fine. Imagine going through all that process from 8 years old to now being 46, serving him. Because at 11 years old, I started, you know, ministering in the altar. Imagine all that time. And then at the last minute, and only because I forgot to pray at nighttime and to be left behind? No, I don't think so. No. Okay, so no. So pray. Number two, the Holy Spirit convinces the world of sin and justice. We saw already 6 functions of the Holy Spirit. You can study this later on more in depth of that. Number two, he convinces the world of justice. And And the word of God says that, Jesus says that when I leave this earth and I descend into heaven, I'm going to send to you a friend, a comforter that will be there for you. And that the Holy Spirit will come to convict the earth of justice, of sin, and judgment. And that one is found on John 16, 7 through 8. So my question to you is, do you know who convinces or convicts the person of when they're sinning and they're doing something wrong? Is it you? No, it's the Holy Spirit. So that's when we have to ask the Holy Spirit to convict that person. Show them that they're in sin. Show them that what they're doing does not glorify your name. Show them that they are in walking in sin. Or say, Lord, show me, Holy Spirit, show me if I'm sinning, if I'm walking in unwise steps, and if I'm walking in ways that are against your will. Lord, show me. So when you pray for somebody's salvation, all you have to do is say, Holy Spirit, you're the one that convinces, not me. And here we just know here what the word of God says, that the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts of justice, of judgment, of sin. If you gave the plan of salvation to somebody, but they don't want to, you know what? Leave it in the hands of the Lord. Give it to the Holy Spirit. Or if you know somebody that has walked away from the things of God and they're not living in the right way, ask the Holy Spirit to convict them, to show them, to lead them. Number three. The Holy Spirit lives in the believer and he fills them. We have to request for that filling of the Holy Spirit. Not just when we come to the house of the Lord. Oh, that pastor prays. Oh, and I felt his presence. No, but the filling is every single day in your home. If you don't seek that filling in the morning of the Holy Spirit, good morning, Holy Spirit, fill me. Because by nighttime, your priority emptied out. And that's why there's some Christians that are like, sometimes yes, sometimes no, because they're being led by their emotions. That's why there's people that look for events. Oh, you know, tell me when there is an event. Because people are just looking for events. But God is not looking for a congregation that wants to just come for events, but people that want to abide in his presence from day in, day out. If it doesn't matter if there's music, if there's events, but it's the presence of God in his church. Because day to day, I am seeking for to be filled by the Holy Spirit. So there's nothing empty within me that can come and fill me and attack me and be vulnerable. Day to day to search for him for that filling. Corinthians 10. Hold on 1 second. Corinthians 3:16 says, don't you know that you are the temple of God and that the Holy Spirit mourns within you? I mean, that's kind of like a question, because sometimes we don't really know that the Holy Spirit abides. See, when I say, you know, for Jesus to come into a heart, not just in a heart, but not just in the moments I say that, but it's literally when like nobody's watching, that the Holy Spirit abides in you. He's seeing everything. And you know what? When there are times when we fail him or we don't seek him to be filled by the Holy Spirit, it gets sad. He gets sad. This is a very interesting fact, is that did you know that the Holy Spirit gets really sad when we're sinning? Just like you and I get sad over certain circumstances, he gets sad as well. He has those emotions. Number four, the Holy Spirit is a fountain of revelation, wisdom, and power. Now there's 11 functions of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:10-11 says, these are the things that God has revealed to us through His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, He encounters everything, even the most profound things of God, because who knows the thoughts of people except, but only the Spirit that lives within them. Are you listening to this? Right now, nobody knows what you're thinking, what Sister Dilsa is thinking over there, but she knows what she's thinking, right? She knows. You know, Pastora is like taking, you know, a long time. She only has like 5 more minutes left. You know, looks like she's like really never ending. And then she hasn't said, like Pastor says, like 5 times, you know, that says, okay, we're going to end, we're going to end. No, I don't do that. I'd rather not say. When the Lord says now, it's now. Okay, so I'm not going to get your hopes up yet. So only you know what you're thinking right now. Only you know. And who else? The Holy Spirit. The one who searches us. The one who searches everything. We can't hide nothing from Him. You can hide from everybody else, from your husband, your wife, your parents, your kids, everybody. You can hide from them, but not the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is the one that searches even your thoughts. That's the one that we should be careful with. That's the one that we should say, Lord, help us to Holy Spirit to walk right in you. It says, who knows more of the thoughts than their own spirit within them? The same way, nobody knows the thoughts of God, but the Holy Spirit does. Nobody knows the thoughts of God, but the Holy Spirit of God. That means don't question, but why that one? Why that? But why is that guy or girl over there more blessed over there? And why is that person? Don't question God. You walk your path. I walk my path. Each person has their walk to walk. Don't look to your left. Don't look to your right. You know, those people that walk really, really run really fast, but they're not paying attention to where their surroundings are. They're just running to the finish line. Do they look to the left, to the right? No. You know why? Because they get distracted. They can trip and fall. Boom, they fall. They lose their career. God doesn't call you to look at the other person and be like, oh, look at that brother. Look at that sister. Oh, look at how they get blessed. And me, you know, I don't get nothing. No. God forgive me for those thoughts. We just need to focus on ourselves. But don't ask the Lord, change me. But at the same time, you're not ready for that change. You know, but if you really want the change, just keep focusing on your walk, on your path. Don't pay attention that, you know, who came, who didn't come. Oh, and then finally that the one that gossips left. No. You come to the services to hear your word, and don't say, oh, you know what? It should have been for that person that, you know, left to the restroom or whatever, you know, you're here to hear the word of God. You're here to hear to change and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. So He is the one that knows everything. Meaning that the Holy Spirit knows the thoughts of God. You don't even know what the Lord has for you, and you're saying, Lord, open this door, open that door. And you should be like, no, Lord. Open the doors that you want to be open and close the ones that you think should be door closed. You know, sometimes we pray for money and because we think that money is a blessing, but then it's taking you away from the things of God. It's taking away from your time, from your family, and it's causing you headaches. Now, is it really a blessing to have that much? I mean, really, that's when you have to ask the Holy Spirit, you know, if it's causing more harm than good. You know, and a lot of the times, you know, we feel like money's a blessing, but we really got to ask the Lord if it's a blessing, if it's causing us more harm than good. You know, we need to really ask the Holy Spirit what is for us. if you ask God for direction, He gives it to you. You know, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Even the calls that I'm going to get you, ask the Holy Spirit to direct them. That you are in the midst of the conversation. A conversation that edifies. Even for that, when I'm going to speak with somebody, I pray to the Lord that the Lord gives me the words for this person. See? So we have to truly be guided by the Holy Spirit. And it's something that we forget. We forget that He's there to guide us, to teach us. Number six, the Holy Spirit gives the gifts of the Spirit to the believers. So this is what we've been studying now, little by little, this gifts of the Spirit. So right now, we're not going to go into depth right now with that, but this is more into just kind of going an overview for them. So how many things has the Holy Spirit given us, but sometimes we don't know how to administrate it properly? Number seven, the Holy Spirit, He is a seal in the lives of the believers. And that is 14 functions just in that. And I was a notary public, and so there was a seal that, you know, we would have to mark on there. Now, I can have my signature on there, but if I didn't have that seal of notary that it was done, it wasn't valid. So if the seal was not seen, it would be invalid. So that's the same way with the Holy Spirit. He is evident, and by sealing the life of the believer. And you know what? The same thing goes, like, you can leave the things of the Lord. You can go far away, but you've already been sealed by the Holy Spirit that you belong to the Lord. So, Lord, you just got to say, you know what? Help me, because even though I may walk away, but I know the Holy Spirit is going to go ahead and convict me eventually, because you belong to the Lord, because you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. He tells you. He marks you as property of the Lord. Oh, okay. So what that means is we may not be able to run. We may be able to run to a certain point, but not run away forever. You can try to hide. You can try to run away and be like, no. But the Lord brings you back, and He will bring you back to His path. Okay. Okay, 2 more minutes more. The Holy Spirit. So let me share something, a testimony. I've shared this only with the leadership group, but after that, we entered this new year, you know, away from the pandemic, there were some areas that we got used to being at home. You know, nobody was really working inside the church, right? To service, to do this, to do that. So everything just kind of started all over again. I was like, Lord, You're going to help me because I have the hands and I have the heart that's willing. But we're not superheroes here. But what we do for the Lord, we want to do it right. But we need help, Lord. You're going to give us help. And this time right now, in this specific time, within a month, He brought the help. I wasn't like, brothers and sisters, I need the help. I mean, I am so grateful for every single person that helps in every area of the church, because we are a body. But because us as people, sometimes we need help in certain areas in our personal life that we just can't give to just anybody. You know, this, you know, it's like we just can't do that. But then the Holy Spirit is there to be that help for you, because sometimes it's personal to be able to move God's hands in your life. To send that help that you need in your finances, in your emotions, with your kids. Are we understanding this? He is your help. The word says to cry out to me. Not to the pastor, not to the leader, but to me, says the Lord, and I will respond to you. cry out to God. He is right there. The Holy Spirit is right there. The helper, the counselor, the Holy Spirit that he left so that he can walk with you in this walk of life. But because we leave him behind, because we keep moving forward and we leave him behind. And in the morning, we don't even say, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Whatever comes my way, help me, Holy Spirit, so that I can identify, Lord, what is coming my way, whether it's a blessing or whether it's a trial, he will guide you. Romans 8:26 is, but I tell you the truth, it is better for me to leave than the counselor. Another version says the helper, he wouldn't come to you, but now that I leave, I will send him, the counselor, the helper. That's important. For who? For you. We got to take advantage of that to truly live in a life of victory, not a life that's always torn apart. You know, it's like, imagine you come to the people and you tell them, hey, come to the Lord. You know, let me give you the plan of salvation. And then you're like complaining, like, oh, I'm here, I'm there, I'm going through this. You know what? If you are a Christian and you're always complaining about your brothers and sisters in Christ, about your life constantly, no, then, you know, that person might say, you know what? Psh, what's the point of being a Christian if they're all always going to be living like that, torn down, broken down, and in a life that's not filled with victory. But you know what? At the end of the day, you know, my husband may go to work and leave me, but you know what? My counselor, my helper is there 24/7, and that's the Holy Spirit. You know what? 5, 7, 6 a.m., whatever time that you want, you can say, Holy Spirit, I need you. I am here. Please give me guidance. Please give me your love. Give me your patience. And there he is right there ready. Number 9, we're finishing up. And the Holy Spirit intercedes for us through hymning. And that is powerful because not even there, when there's not even words to express, I don't know if this happens to the men, but to us women, all of a sudden we're like, oh my gosh, I'm so sad. I just want to cry. And I don't even know why. Right? Yes or no? I'm just sad. Yeah, and the husband's like, I don't even know what's going on with her. You know, it's like, just hug me. You know, the husband's like, I want to help you. And you're like, I don't know how. Right? Not even we know what we need. But the Holy Spirit, he knows. He knows your necessity. He knows the most intimate part within you. He knows what your soul is battling with. He knows what your body's battling with. He knows it. Not even your husband, poor thing. You know, he might bring you an ice cream or some kind of treat, a pizza or something. You know, I want some fried chicken or something. But no, that's not it. The Holy Spirit, he knows. I don't know. You know, maybe men go through that too. I don't know. Maybe sometimes they do. Well, I don't know if Pastor, but I know Pastor, you know, you might see him, you know, you see Pastor kind of thinking a lot, you know, maybe he goes through those moments where he's just analyzing and thinking. I mean, I'm not saying he's crying out, like bursting out in tears, but he's also in need of, you know, having that heavy burden. You know, as men, they carry a heavier burden to carry on the house. You know, maybe sometimes they do want to burst out and cry, but the Holy Spirit is there to also comfort them, you know, as well. Okay, so now we're getting to the last part. It's number 9. So the Holy Spirit makes you a new function in the Lord. So through that, we get the everlasting life. I mean, sometimes we're battling here like, oh, this, you know, this hurts, that hurts. You know, I may feel young. You know, I look in the mirror. You know, sometimes I feel like I look like 20. But, you know, but I feel like 50 because, you know what, like, because I'm almost 50. You know, because a body eventually is going to deteriorate. Because one day, one day, sooner than later, who knows, maybe. You know, right now I remember because yesterday, Pastor was like, I was in the room, in the closet, and he had gone somewhere and he came back. Did you call me? And I was like, no. Oh, I thought you called me. And my mom was there yesterday and she was cooking and he turns on and he's like, did you call me? And I was like, no. I don't know if this is a superstition thing, but they say sometimes it's like, is it a superstition thing? Because they say like when you start hearing that voice, like somebody calling you, is it my time to leave? But in reality, we don't know when our time is. I'm like thinking, oh my gosh, you know, like maybe it's time to go, but no. And then by ending this, you know, in Galatians, it talks about the pretty much like the fruits of the flesh, you know, and the fruits of the spirit. When you get a chance, if you go ahead and, you know, study that at home more and, you know, ask the Lord, you know, how many fruits of the spirit do I have and how many fruits of the flesh do I still need to overcome? So with the Holy Spirit's help, we can do all things through Christ that gives us strength by the Holy Spirit. So now we're going to go ahead and dismiss. And let's go ahead and end in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this word that you've given us, Father. I pray, Father God, Lord Jesus, that at the end of the day, Father God, no matter how we're feeling, no matter what we're going through, Father, that your Holy Spirit may become so real to us that it doesn't matter how discouraged or the failures that we feel that we just feel like we just can't, or people hurt us. We know that you're a comforter. We know that you're the one that will bring that peace that surpasses all understanding. And that every day we say, good morning, Holy Spirit. And even in the things that we wear, that you guide us in every step, whether wherever we go, should we go here, should we not go here? Holy Spirit, becomes so real to us that we have no doubt in our mind that when we cry out to you, you are there hearing our plea. And that you bring us joy. Because happiness comes and goes, but the joy that your Spirit gives us is everlasting. Bless every single person that hears this message. And may they be encouraged to truly live a Spirit-filled life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.